You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Welcome to Wednesday Live, a production of WCNO Christian Radio, sponsored in part by Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. Let's see what God has in store for us today.
Hi, I'm Penny Cook, coming to you with another edition of Pursuing Prayer for America. The Bible tells us to pray for our leaders. Sometimes we may not know what to pray for our government, or we may feel discouraged when we see them not as upright as we'd like them to be, but that's all the more reason to pray for them, locally, to those in our nation's capital. They need our prayers. So would you pray these scriptures with me for our leaders? Father, we thank you for those who have taken on the great responsibility of leadership in our local and national government, in our schools, in our churches, and our places of work. We pray for leaders who are above reproach, who are humble, who fear God and are trustworthy. Lord, protect us from those who are not, and deliver us from evil. We ask that you open our leaders' eyes to truth and guide them in wisdom. Protect them in the spiritual battles they face. Guard them from persecution. Strengthen them from burnout. May they not seek their own benefit, but the good of those they lead. May they serve as examples of good for all people, so we may be able to live peaceful and godly lives, that all may be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. We are all leaders in some way and are accountable to you, just as they are. So let us present ourselves as ones approved by God and not ashamed. Give us discernment for who to vote for, and help us to accept their authority, the authority you have allowed, and help us to continue to pray for them to lead us in truth and in justice. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen. Thank you for praying. To find out more about Pursuing Prayer for America, you can go to pennycookauthor.com, that's Cook with an E, and may we all continue to pray for America and our leaders.
All right, and we want to welcome you to Wednesday Live. Had a little insert there from Penny Cook, and that's a great reminder as we are looking at election season. We need to be much in prayer about the Father's direction in that. Well, I want to welcome Robin Campbell with us this morning on Wednesday Live. Robin, you all just had a great event up at the First Church of the Nazarene in Fort Pierce. Tell us about it.
Well, we had our neighborhood block party. We had 900 backpacks to give out, and we had 23 agencies come. We gave out 509 backpacks, and we saw 207 families come through, which means we were able to help 872 people within those families.
Tremendous. Tremendous. That is absolutely tremendous. So how does this year compare with other years? Is this an increase in recipients, or how does this compare?
As far as the number of families we saw and the number of people we were able to help has increased, even though we gave out fewer backpacks this year, but still the remaining backpacks will be going to at least three of our elementary schools here in Fort Pierce. And some will be going to organizations like Big Brothers, Big Sisters, and Graceway Village. And some of them are going to Haiti, to the nations of Haiti and Guyana.
Mm. Wonderful. Wow. So tell us maybe a minute or so about all of the team that comes together to make this happen. I know that Fort Pierce First Church of the Nazarene is really a home base for a lot of these community outreaches, but you do have a lot of helping hands.
We do. We had several volunteers from our own church. Part of our committee was Kathy Sykes. She helped with the site plan. and organizing set up for the agencies. We had Sean and Belinda Carr, our pastor, and his wife doing prayer booth, and we had Peggy and Robin and Linda and Perla doing registration for us. We had Mark and Bonnie and Melvin doing our food for us. And we had a lot of kids and youth from both Faith Church of the Nazarene and Fort Pierce First Church of the Nazarene. And so we just had a lot of help in getting it set up. And then, of course, the agencies, we had a DJ, Kyle from Nightlife Entertainment. He provided great Christian music for us. And, you know, it was just a wonderful, wonderful day. Extremely hot, but a wonderful day.
Extremely hot. Well, that's part of this time of year, isn't it?
Yeah. Several of us ended up with some heat exhaustion. So,
oh,
yeah,
boy.
It was really hot. We had fans going, but we're thinking next year misting fans might be better.
There you go. Well, what's the next big event? What do you have on the calendar coming up just for people who might want to mark that down and be a part at the next event you have?
Well, Thursday we're working with the Treasure Coast Food Bank. We're having a park it market where they come, they park, and they come up to
park
the fair
it market.
Food. Yes. And it's tomorrow between 2 and 3:30. And then next month on, I think it's September 21st, we're going back to our drive through food pantry once a month on the third Saturday of every month. And that's usually from 10 to 12 while supplies last.
All right. Very good. Very good. Well, thank you so much for all of the great ministry that you have, your pastor, the church congregation there, and so many volunteers are bringing together just to make a difference in your community. And that is absolutely awesome. So thank you for keeping us in the loop and letting us get the word out for you. It's great to be partners.
We appreciate you guys so much, and thank you.
Thanks, Robin. Give our hello to Pastor as well.
I will.
All right.
Have a great day.
All right. Thank you. God bless. Bye. All right. I do believe we have some local mail. Who has it? We don't have a lot this morning, but a little bit.
Yes, we have one note here. This is from our wonderful friend Janine, who is a beautiful supporter of the station. And she writes in, she said, God bless us all. Thank you for your ministry. She said she loves James Wrench from the Friday AM replay of Kingdom Recovery. And James talks a lot about deliverance. And
he does.
Very knowledgeable in that area. Well, praise God. So thank you, Janine. Thank you for your notes that you always send in. And we really appreciate your support of the station.
We do.
That's great. And we like to get mail with notes.
Yes, with cats and dogs.
With cats, both cats and dogs. So we're not showing preference there today. It has both the visible, and so that's great news. And of course, we have two of our great hosts of programs right here in WCNO as a part of our team on Wednesday Live. And I like from time to time to just make mention of those other programs. David, you start the week out.
We do, Monday at
front
11.
Line.
The front line, yes.
Front line. How long now? Are we a year into the front line?
We're over a year.
Over a year?
Yeah, we started April of 23. And so now we're into August of 24. So
okay.
You know, I can't do the math. It's not quite a year and a half.
We've passed the year for sure.
And we've had a nice variety of guests on. And on rare occasions, when a guest has had to cancel or we've just planned just to have the co-host lift up a particular issue that's a concern in the day and look at it biblically, spiritually, you know, and we've done that. We just enjoy it. Mondays are my favorite day of the week.
Well, we had a great response this past Monday.
We did.
This week. And had a gentleman who called in, and you had a guest that was sharing some of her God story of a troubling time in her life with an abortion.
She was post-abortive, and she was 15 when she 15. Had twins aborted.
Okay.
And she's now in her early 50s. But her whole story of her journey to Christ through from the abortion and all the PTSD, if you will, that goes on with that, and how then she went to work in an abortion clinic. And talking about, before she became a nurse, but in talking about one of the things she had to do is count the body parts of the babies that they cut out. I mean, that was, but just to hear then, after all of that darkness, if you will, in her 30s, meeting Jesus, being saved, being forgiven, recognizing that forgiving grace, the mercy of God, and then letting that mercy of God, and as God loves to call us to ministry in and through his merciful gifts, to go into nursing, to then bring the ministry of healing through her own giftedness back. It was just, and it was a powerful story.
I heard the healing part.
The healing,
it was really strong because, you know, she was talking about that the power of being born again, the power of the gospel and the power of the working of Christ in our life, it enables us to become free from the condemnation of the past and be able to experience the healing.
Yes.
And so then those who have been healed can bring healing to others. And there was a phone call that came in right away. And really, that's where I wanted to reach as well, because we appreciate people that respond to the programs.
We do.
And so we had a gentleman call in, and he had a bit of a story as well. And I think this just sort of reawakened in him some of his thankfulness for what God had done in his own life. What was his story?
Well, the story was, now he's probably, he's my age, maybe a little younger. But when he was 17, he fathered a child, of course, out of wedlock, and being he was didn't want that. He didn't want the baby. Didn't want to deal with it. He pressured his girlfriend into having an abortion.
Okay.
And he said, then following her going through with that for the next 3 years, he was just crushed by depression. He himself recognized the evil of what he had supported, and. And then it was through that he met the Lord, was again himself forgiven. And when he heard the story, it was again brought again the joy of God saving him and forgiving him. And so he wanted to make a donation to the station. He's a regular donor, but this was over and above. But it was, and when he spoke to me in those words, the Lord said to me, there are hundreds of people that I touched through that broadcast who will not be calling you. But to know that many, many, many lives have been changed.
Yeah, absolutely.
And this is why we, at WCNO, we do that kind of programming. We put the truth out there.
Yeah.
And it is certainly embedded in biblical imperatives. So it's not something we make up. We're just responding. And we have people who come in here, tell the truth of their lives, the before and after Christ. And this is where the great power is, you know. And we have to do this. And we're not embarrassed to do this.
Really, part of the healing is being able to tell the story and know that what the enemy meant for evil and destruction is actually a story that brings hope and healing to someone else as people listen. So when this gentleman called in the other day, I realized this is an immediate response to the Word of God. Here is someone that immediately was touched and ministered to. And so, Karen, you also have a powerful program coming up on Friday again this week, every Friday.
Every Friday, 11 a.m.
Hidden Places.
Hidden Places.
What is that about?
It's about whatever the Lord gives each one of us to discuss for the day. It's like real-time, you know, prayer closet, real-time stuff that the Lord is speaking, and you know, what he speaks to us individually and what we feel he's speaking to the church at large.
Amen.
And we bring whatever the Lord gives to us.
And you know, David, I believe Karen still gets the most fan mail.
Yes, she does. That's okay.
I do. You know, and the one from yesterday.
I don't have my ego. We don't have an ego investment.
We have been healed. We've been healed of this deficit for the rest of the team.
I celebrate that.
But the one from yesterday, a brother Tim that writes in often, every week, as a matter of fact, thank you, Tim, he wrote in there, the Olympics, you know, because yeah, right. I was talking about the Olympics a couple of weeks ago. And
sure you were.
Because there is that comparison to our spiritual life and, you know, what God is doing in each one of us. And we are in a race.
We're
in a race.
And we're in it to win it, right?
That's exactly right.
I just have a postscript because when I listen to Karen's program, I try to do it every week, is it would be like, what if Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of Jesus, and a couple other ladies had, you know, between the times we read about their encounters in the scripture, if they're just sitting around over a cup of coffee or whatever and talking, their conversation might be something akin to what Karen is doing with Cynthia West and Deanne
and Nanette.
Just, you know, it's just like you get drawn into that personal conversation. It's very spiritual.
Like a river.
Yeah.
You know, we each flow over. We're different streams, and we all come into the one river.
So it's a confluence.
Come in at 11 o'clock on Friday morning. That's where all the streams come together.
That's
and sometimes the water gets a little deep.
Yeah.
And sometimes we serve, you know, Kleenexes with our rivers around here, and that's okay. Well, right now, we're just going to jump ahead a little bit because we actually have Stephanie Jacobson who is with us. And Stephanie, we want to give adequate time this morning to just talk about what's taking place. I know that you have been with us in several of our programs over the last year, and you always bring to us some up-to-date information in regards to the fight for life. So tell us what's up. Welcome, incidentally.
Well, thank you. Thank
let me get your mic on here. Everybody's going to want to hear you. There you go.
There you go.
Thank you so much. It is like walking into...
It's like walking into, when I come into WCNO now, it's like walking into a friendly place to sit down and just have this great conversation. So I was really happy to hear you guys talking about the other shows. I really have enjoyed, I just moved down here a couple years ago, and I really have enjoyed catching up with the different live shows that you guys put on because they're very welcoming. Yes, we are going forward on this live this birth adventure, and I say a birth adventure because I really want abortion to be defeated. I want it to be defeated, and it is something that is near and dear to my heart because, as you know, I have come down here before and given my testimony, and I'll give a little bit of that in a little bit, but we serve such a mighty God
Amen.
That... How can I not speak of the biggest hurt in my life and the thing that took me to the foot of the cross and showed me who he was and who he is in my life? And that, you know, we can find healing for something, but you don't find freedom, true freedom, until you can speak openly to other people about it, because that's the furtherance of the gospel.
Good point.
So a lot of people will say, well, I've already been healed, but can you speak about it, or do you still have that pang in your heart that makes you think, ugh.
That's a good point.
I really don't want to talk about it, and that's a lot of people in the church today.
But it's so needed in order for others, those who are healed and those who are being healed, to come out.
Freedom is different than healing.
Yes.
So I want freedom for all these women and men who have gone through this.
So the call to action, I mean, a lot of people thought, okay, the Roe versus Wade thing, that's done with, and so the battle's over. No.
It is not over. I want to go back to Esther 4:14 for a second.
Okay.
You know, the coffee cup scripture, we call them coffee cup scriptures or t-shirt scriptures, and all you ever hear is for such a time as this.
Right.
That's a known scripture. But if you look in the beginning of that scripture, there is a call to action in that Esther 4:14. That call to action is for, if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise for the, and it says the Jews in the Bible, but I'm going to put in here the preborn and their mothers from another place. So let me read that again. For if you keep silent, this is a call to action for our listeners. For if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise for the preborn and their mothers from another place. The next part of that scripture is a warning. But you and your father's house will perish. If you keep silent, you and your father's house will perish. And then the declaration comes, and who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this.
Mm. Wow.
We have 100 years or less, depending on what God gives us, to speak about the truth of the gospel. And if we don't utilize that, then we've been silent. And silence is a vote, or a, I hate to say the word vote because it becomes political, but it is staying silent is not speaking truth. And truth is how we overcome the darkness, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So Esther was called to speak truth, and she was going to die if he did, if the king did not give her, you know, the sepulcher or whatever it was that you know that she was going to die. We've been called for this time. We're here.
Absolutely. So, we are, and it wasn't just that she would die.
That's right.
Many would die.
Right.
But
God would have raised somebody else up if she had not, and that's what I'm saying to the people that are listening. So if not now, when? You gonna wait 10 years?
And if not you?
And if not you, who?
Who? Okay.
I can't tell you who said that, but,
it's good.
Yeah.
It's good.
So one of the reasons that I fight, and I'll go to this really quickly because I know I've given my testimony on here before, but, you know, I was raised in a really safe family, really safe world. My parents were Christians. I went to church. I loved Jesus. I mean, from the time I was tiny, I didn't know anything different. But life took a detour. I never saw coming, and I always dreamed of having a family, and, you know, and I do. I have a beautiful family, but I had two abortions while I was still in my teens in Kansas City, Missouri. One was at a Planned Parenthood, and one was at KU Medical Center. But at the Planned Parenthood, I remember being in this tiny, sterile room, and the woman who was given the job of educating me, that's a really lame term, about the procedure had slid this speculum, which I didn't even know what a speculum was, across the desktop to explain that process to take the tissue from my body. I didn't have a clue what she was telling me. So I asked if I could go get my boyfriend. He was sitting in the car, who actually later became my husband. So I wanted him to hear what she was saying because I was 16.
Right.
I was alone in a place that looked medical. It looked like they knew what they were talking about. But something in me was like, there's something wrong here and I don't know what it is. So I need somebody's ears to be on my side, right? But she said, you won't need him. He can't help you with this now, but we can. I didn't question it. I still was nervous, but I didn't question it. And she told me that the abortion is between a woman and her doctor. And I will tell you that, to be clear, I never saw or discussed my pregnancy benefits, risks, or alternatives of either abortion that I had with any doctor. Not one doctor ever talked to me
about those.
No. And I mean, do you ever have a procedure that you don't know what's, had they ever not sat down with you and said, we're going to
repeatedly? I mean, sometimes it's like,
can
to the point
on?
Where you're like, please, please. So this is really a misunderstood factor. And I know there's so much publicity that, you know, the whole thing of Planned Parenthood is about women's health. And what you're saying is, well, there wasn't even a conversation about the possibilities.
There was nothing.
The problems.
No conversation about what would happen, especially afterwards.
Okay.
Obviously, what was going on during it, I felt everything.
Yeah.
They don't put you out. They don't, you know, it's, you feel everything. And I didn't know what he was doing, but I knew it hurt.
Yeah.
And I remember holding the nurse's hand. I don't remember a lot about it, to be honest with you. They do give you a little bit of medication of some kind,
some
to kind
sedative
of, yeah.
or something. Yeah.
But I remember just, I know that I don't want to be dramatic here, but it is very traumatizing. And I remember just a single tear. I could feel the heat of that tear. And I thought, I cannot. And the doctor kept saying, hold still, hold still. And I kept thinking, something's not right here. And I honestly was so naive. You know, back then we had to go to a book to find out what a baby in the womb looked like, and it was a drawing. Now we have 4D sonograms where you can see that baby moving around in the heartbeat, and that's what helps to save a lot of these babies, because the moms know. That's no excuse for me, okay? I'm not excusing myself at all. But even though it was dulled, it was amplified in me that I did not want to talk about this afterwards. And 40 years, I had a second abortion after that, and that's a whole nother story, but 40 years I stayed silent.
Wow.
But the number 40 means captivity. It also means deliverance. And that's when God began to heal me, and that was about 8 years ago. So for 40 years I stayed silent, and the aftermath of the abortions is something that wasn't talked to me about in that tiny sterile room. The depression, the anxiety, the anger, I had miscarriages, and suicidal thoughts. You know, that's something that we don't think about really being part of the abortion process.
Emotional trauma.
Mm-hmm. And then I was later, I was so angry. Anger was my, that was my outlet. I was so angry. You know, when you take life out of a mama bear in the wild, she doesn't just sit back and go, oh, okay, this is better for me now. Right. No, she comes after you, and she becomes very, very angry.
Vicious, yeah.
Very vicious. Yeah. And I, God healed me of anger after my husband left me 8 years ago.
Wow.
And God showed me that that was my time, put a stake in the ground for me and said, you are going to fight this.
Yeah.
And so that's why I'm sitting in Florida. I have no idea how I got here, but this is how I'm here. But I was misdiagnosed with bipolar. And that was something that I fought for about 6 months, and God delivered me in a great way where I just was able to get off the medication. They had me on lithium. I mean, I was going down a bad path. Now, my psychological stuff didn't really get healed until I went in and I was able to walk into, if not for grace, in Kansas City, which is much like Redeeming Freedom down here with CareNet, and go through with women that would show me who God is in my life. I had lost all sense of who I was in Christ completely. And I was still trying to raise my family and have
trying
everything
to hold it together.
Oh my gosh, we had started businesses. I mean, it was, we were gung-ho, but
I was coming apart inside,
and I didn't know why. I couldn't put my finger on it, but God healed me of that anger through a dream. And you know, when we don't value life, nothing else has value. And that's part of what we're dealing with here in the Amendment 4. My two children, Liam Elias and Victoria Isabel, were named because they needed personhood. They needed that value. And it's a small thing I could do to give them that value. I think it's very important that our children know that we understand that
it was
God.
And they are with the Lord.
They are. And they were God-given.
Yeah, there you go.
They were God-given. So...
Well, that's powerful. David, didn't the gentleman who called in, we were just talking about your program, didn't he say that he was very depressed for a long period of time?
Well, for 3 years after.
3 years.
After he'd forced his
Even
his
the men as well.
Oh,
yes.
So this isn't just, and what you're talking about is still happening 40 years later, right? I mean, that's why you're in the fight today, because young ladies and even older ladies are still being led down the path of no information, or
it's the same lie.
Yeah, it's a lie. That's what it is.
Changed.
It's a lie.
They're just more bold about it.
About it today.
They are screaming about their abortions, their rights, their women's health.
Yeah,
it isn't anything about that. It is about the fact that they're searching, screaming about being.
Yeah,
they're searching for God.
They're searching for God.
And I pray, you know. What's happening in Chicago right now, I don't know if y'all, I'm sure you're up to date on it. I haven't listened to what you guys are hearing, but I don't know if our listeners know, but right now at the DNC, there are vans outside of the DNC that are giving vasectomies to men.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The enemy isn't stopping.
Free.
He is becoming, yeah.
Free vasectomies, free abortions,
yes.
Right outside the DNC.
Now, I will tell you that there is a PRC in St. Louis, Missouri that I deal with that's called Thrive. They're on the cutting edge of everything. They're there in Missouri, and they sent pro-life bands to the DNC.
Wow, to
so
reach
they're
out.
Sitting out there to
rescue.
So please pray for their for their protection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because that's a very scary.
It's a battlefield.
It's
a battlefield.
Not
when
a
you're
recreation
talking
room.
Life.
That's right.
It's a battlefield.
It is a battlefield.
So what is happening with Amendment 4? I know that's part of what brought us together, and we have a few minutes, and we really need to address that.
Yeah, I know that I was saying in the beginning that we need a call to action, and the reason that we need the call to action now is because yesterday was
election
right. day,
election
right.
day here for us.
That's right, the primaries, and we've kind of been holding off to really go gung-ho on this Amendment 4. Now, I know we haven't here in the studio.
Right,
we've been
right.
talking about it left and right. So the people that are hearing about it are like, oh, you guys have been talking about it. You've been talking about it. But here's where we get to help them go out and talk about it. They have to get involved. The people that are listening on this call are the answer to Florida overturning this amendment. Or
yes.
not overturning it, but for it not to pass.
Right. Right.
A no vote on this would
right.
be that. Okay. So I want to speak to the post-abortive community right now. As a post-abortive woman, I am calling you to action. You don't have to tell someone about your abortion right now. That's fine. But take the first step to understand that this isn't just about abortion. It's about bad policy, obviously.
But deceptive.
It is so deceptive. It is deceptive and it is dangerous. And if even just the post-abortive people would understand that you can do something in the privacy of this ballot box to bring life, to make another day that we can fight for life.
Yeah.
If this passes, we're going to be years, decades into trying to fight this to not be abortion.
State of Florida will.
Birth, yeah. So, so that's the deception.
You know, Stephanie, one thing, I was with the Treasure Coast Alliance Board as we were interviewing some of the candidates that obviously were voted for yesterday.
Yes, sir.
And some of them, when we asked them questions,
mm-hmm.
such as, what is your stand in regards to Amendment 4? They said, well, this really isn't relevant. It really doesn't make a difference because we're not in a position to, you know, that's not something we're going to be making happen either way. And I believe some in the body of Christ just need to hear today that all of us are given an opportunity to stand up now, and we need to, in order to make a difference. And it does matter where you stand, and it does matter where every one of our politicians stand. And some will say, well, you know, I'm on the school board, or well, I'm a tax collector, well, you know, I'm a sheriff, what do I have to do with that? Well, you have a voice, and you also have the ability to have spiritual influence,
and they're a part of the voting public.
They are,
if
absolutely.
They don't vote for it, then, or if they don't vote against it, then they will be dealing with it, because we'll be coming and talking to them. They won't be able to do anything in the legislation. See, this is the problem, is if this is passed, no legislative body, no Supreme Court, and the governor's office, there will be nothing they can do.
Yeah, their hands are tied.
It has to come back to another vote of the people, which they've already spent, the vote yes people, have already spent $15 million just to get the signatures. We would have to raise that money to get signatures to overturn this, to put it back on the ballot. That's just the signatures.
That's then just to bring it back up.
Yeah, then you've got the fight that, you know, the campaign, which is millions and millions of dollars.
Sure.
So we can stop this right here and right now. I want to go to... are we okay on time? I don't want to...
we are with about maximum 10 minutes.
Okay. So... I just want to go over really quickly that voting on November 5th, whether to wipe away all the regulatory laws that concerned people have fought for here in Florida. It's not only bad policy, it would make abortion legal through pregnancy all the way up to birth. And I want to read this real quick. Florida would become a destination state for abortion. I mean, that would be our, and Florida has a good leadership here, a conservative leadership. But I want to say something about the people that have already passed legislation. They have been fighting hard, and this is just a little teeny type of teeny, I guess, soundbite of the legislation that is already in our books. It's so logical. If a termination of pregnancy is performed during viability, the physician performing the termination of pregnancy must exercise the same degree of professional skill, care, and diligence to preserve the life and health of the fetus that the physician would be required to exercise in order to preserve the life and health of the fetus intended to be born and not aborted. However, if preserving the life and health of the fetus conflicts with preserving the life and health of the woman, the physician must consider preserving the woman's life and health the overriding and superior concern. That's in our books. Why would we want to do away with that? It would be gone.
Right, that protects the mother totally.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, we have women's health in our right. laws right now. We need to pay attention to that. Right. There's other things that are deceptive and dangerous, but I want to pull back. And I think this is kind of where we brought me into the studio today.
Right.
I want to look at the bigger picture for the nation for just a few
okay.
minutes. Other states don't have the luxury that we have here, but with a conservative government. But I want to say that when Roe was turned over, we didn't hear all the gnashing of teeth and all the riots and all those different things that we sometimes
right.
hear when they don't get their way.
Right.
And that was because they already had this, that when it went back to the states, they already had some of this this language written, this deceptive language. And I thought that was so odd. The silence was deafening. It's just deafening, and now I know why.
Because they had a plan mm-hmm. in place.
And don't kid yourself. They're not just waiting for November 5th. The enemy doesn't stop.
Yeah.
And so don't ever think this fight for life is going to ever be over. That here's the spiritual side of it. People think that the enemy hates Christians. No, he hates God.
Yeah.
And they think, well, we don't have to worry about it if you're not a Christian. He's not after them. That is not true. Those that are not Christians are still image bearers of God.
Sure.
And he wants them dead too. So, you know, we need to be praying for them.
And Jesus died for all of them.
He died
yes.
for every
yes.
one of them.
Yeah.
So, the overview of the battleground states, I gave you guys each a piece of paper there that says what each of the state, where they are in their fight on abortion. And I just want to go over this real quick. So no gestational limits. There's 7 states that have abortion up and beyond birth. There's 14 on the other side of the coin that have banned them completely. Now, this is where we stand right this second. 6 weeks ban, which is where we are right now. There's 3 of us, 3 states. 12 to 15 week ban, there's 3 states. 18 to 23 ban, there's 4 states. And 26 week ban, there's 19 states. So that covers our 50 states. Why am I going through these numbers? It was mind-boggling last night when I was trying to put this together, because it can be confusing. But I want the state of Florida to realize we're not alone in this battle. And even though we're very focused on Amendment 4, there are 8 battleground states out there this year that will codify or enshrine abortion up to birth in their state constitution.
So this is a movement.
This is a movement.
Yeah.
And this is something that we've got to realize here. And I'm from the state of Missouri, and they're fighting it this year too, which I do not think is an accident that God has me in this fight right now down here in Florida, but also up there. There's 2 states that it's pending. They still don't know whether it's on the ballot. And 1 state, Arkansas, God bless them, they rejected it. So that being said, Colorado, South Dakota, Missouri, Florida, Arizona, Nevada, New York, and Maryland are getting ready to codify this in their constitution. Now, some of them already have it in their state laws that they can have abortion up to birth. But that's what we're fighting here. We're fighting for the foundational law. If it gets changed, we have homicide up to birth in our constitution. And when you have homicide that has been legalized, think of the other laws that they can pass in the
legislature. Spin off of that.
Yes, you're talking trafficking, you're talking transgender, you're talking all these things. When you codify abortion into the Constitution, we're saying our nation, you know how hard it is to change the Constitution of the United States? But when you come down to, they're doing this in so many states now that our fight is here, Florida. Mm. Our fight is here. Stand up in that ballot box by yourself. Do what's right so we can live another day to fight this in a place where we can not be deceived and we can actually have a fight. So in the legislative world and in the government's office or the governor's office and So I'm proud of all the people that are coming on board. I would pray that you would talk to your small groups, talk to people one-on-one, invite them out for coffee, invite them for dinner, discuss it in your home with your children, because your children are going to have this fight later. I also want to ask that anyone that's on listening today that has had an abortion, please feel free to reach out to me. My email is stephanietc62@gmail.com. I would love to be able to talk with you and just listen to your heart and know that you have a safe place. There is a safe place to heal. I also work with H3 Helpline, and you can call us. It's h3helpline.org. And then you can also call us at 866-721-7881.
A little slower.
Okay. 866-721-7881.
And what was your email again that people could reach you?
Stephanie, stephanietc62@gmail.com. And then we have our PRCs around here, CareNet. And, you know, there's I'm sit on the board here at CareNet TC, and it's just, we pray for us. We've got a lot of things to pray for.
So important.
So important.
So important. Mm-hmm. Stephanie, we've got about a minute left. Why don't you just lead us in a moment of prayer, because we really need to, we need to be awakened.
Yes.
We need to be awakened in our state and across our nation today. It's a critical time because the fight for life is, it is spiritual, but it's also physical.
Yes.
And the two are connected.
They are. Connected. They are. Thank you. Oh, Father, we thank you that you are allowing us to come in to your at your feet, to kneel at your feet in your throne room of grace, Father. We are so overwhelmed with the love that you have for us, and Father, we want to have that same love for you, Father.
Thank you.
Build up the people here that hear this in the Treasure Coast, Lord. You're going to make the Treasure Coast a treasure to the nation. Let us stand up and speak. Speak volumes with our friends, with our family, but also, Father, in that ballot box, I pray that when they get in there, that they will begin to feel that they have a place to speak truth as they vote. Thank you, Father, I thank you for our leaders, and I thank you for this platform with WCNO that you have already created this for us to be able to speak to people and speak to their hearts and know that there are people out here that do love them, that they're not alone. God, you are there with them right now. And I'm just amazed that every time I get down and feel like I'm alone, I can go to your scripture and I can know that that is truth and that the truth dispels the darkness. It has defeated the darkness. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your love and grace and mercy. And we just ask this all in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Stephanie, thank you so much for joining us. You are listening to Wednesday Live. We are looking for our next guest, looking for Chauncey Crandall, as well as a couple other guests to join us in just a moment. So keep your dial set right here. Thanks again, Stephanie, for joining us. And we are back, and so glad that you have joined us today for Wednesday Live. And we are still waiting. We're hopeful to get through to Dr. Chauncey Crandall. There is an upcoming event that we want to talk about that Tim may be able to help us with. Let's see. It is an upcoming healing encounter. And I'm trying to review this and see exactly where it's going to be taking place. Let's see. That we don't know. Okay. Well, maybe they'll call us. And
that'll be at Bow Down Church on Australian Avenue.
How did you know that?
Because I got the PSA.
I sent it to you, and I lost it. Okay. So say that again. Okay.
At Bow Down Church.
Bow Down Church.
Australian Avenue.
Australian Avenue in West Palm.
West Palm Beach.
And there's going to be worship. That's coming up on which date?
That is, I think it's Saturday. Let me get the
Saturday.
Note for you.
Okay. All right. So we're going to try to get that for you. The other thing that I want to remind you of, we have a tremendous upcoming event at the Finn Center. It's going to be in September the 26th. September the 26th, you are going to want to be a part of this. I Will Stand with Israel. I Will Stand with Israel. And we are going to have... right here on the Treasure Coast of Florida, Jonathan Kahn is going to be coming back. He will be available, I'm sure, to sign his newest book that is just being released. And also Paul Wilbur, a internationally known Messianic psalmist. He will be with us that evening as well as other guests. I believe some of Paul Wilbur's family is going to be joining us that evening at the Finn Center in Port St. Lucie. Now, we do have tickets at this time, and so you can go to the Treasure Coast Christian Alliance website, and you can get tickets there. You can call us here at the station, go onto our website, and it will take you directly there. There's links in the WCNO website that will take you there. But right now is the time to get the tickets. We already have several hundred tickets that have been spoken for, but we do have seating that will be available probably for up to maybe 2,000 people. And so we are looking to completely fill this facility as we look to stand with Israel during these great days of deception and attack. And so that's coming up very shortly. All right. We are still waiting on a call. We may have a call come in any second, but, well, there it is. Maybe that's the call now. Let me see. Let's see if that is the call. Tim, are you with us?
Yes. Hey, Jonathan.
Hey! Thank you. Thank you for coming along here. We were afraid we weren't going to get connected in time. We still have a few minutes. So, Tim Popatic, you are... who is with you?
So, I have Camden Popatic with me. He's going to be the worship leader at this event. And we're super excited about what's coming on. Doc got held up today. He was going to pop on and say hello, but we are, you know, these doctors, they're crazy. So
they're busy, aren't they?
Yeah,
they are. They are crazy. But I'll tell you a little bit about the event, and then I'm going to just have Camden just share his perspective on why this is important. The event is coming up this Saturday night on August 24th. It's going to be hosted at Urban Youth Impact, which is down in Australian Boulevard in West Palm Beach, Florida. So if you're familiar with Urban Youth Impact, they have a church there called Bow Down. So we'll be inside of that space there. It's going to be at 6:00 this Saturday night. It's again, this is one of our Healing Encounter Nights. You can go to the website healingencounternights.com to get all of the information. It's free. There's no charge for this, but you come if you need prayer, if you need your faith to increase, and you need an opportunity for healing. This is going to be our night. It's going to be packed, but we're going to have a great crowd of folks who are just seeking the Lord and His provision for their life, and we are excited. So the doors will open at 5:30, Jonathan.
Okay.
And so I would recommend if anyone's coming down, you know, or wherever you're located, come. It's very, very close to downtown West Palm. It's a great location. We're going to have plenty of parking. We have secured some parking across the street as well. So we're excited about it. We believe that there's going to be a mighty move of God. I'll tell you, there's something that happened in Dr. Crandall's life in the month, just about 8 or 9 weeks ago, that radically changed his perspective on communion. And this night is going to be focused on the blood of Jesus. And there's going to be something powerful that's going to happen. And so we will be partaking in communion as we also look for prayer and healing. And it's going to be a powerful night. But I don't want to give away the story, but it'll wreck you. So you're going to want to watch, and you're going to want to come on down. It's going to be an awesome, awesome time. So, hey, Jonathan, with that, I'd like to just put Camden Pocatic.
Sure.
He's my son.
Welcome, Camden.
He's a voice of this next generation. So
excellent. Welcome. Welcome, Camden.
Awesome. Thank you. Yeah, we're just really excited about this next move of God and what God is even going to begin to do on Saturday. So with like even like worship, it's going to be really old school. Like think of like Jesus Movement meets, you know, some mainstream classics, but it's going to be all just like reverence for Jesus. And we're making the main thing the main thing again, you know? So we're just very excited.
So Camden, you sound a little younger than your father. So what does that mean?
So I'm 21.
Okay.
So yeah, I think just like bridging the gap between, you know, generations, I think the Lord is doing something where, you know, a 21-year-old and a, say, like an 80-year-old, it's really hard because there's that weird, awkward gap of, like, nobody knows the songs. And I think the Lord is doing something really cool where he's using and bringing back older songs, like How Great Thou Art and older hymns into just, like, mainstream media. And it's kind of ministering to our younger generation, but it's also still deeply impacting the older generation.
So Camden, what is your part in the body of what's God anointed and gifted you to do, and what's your part in this event?
So my what do you think? I feel like I've been, you know, gifted to do kind of like what David does, is like this like Psalmist anointing.
Awesome.
Yeah. So like prophetic singing.
That's awesome.
Singing for healing. Just like almost like a breaker anointing too.
That's excellent. And so I see something on here about Bethel School of Ministry students. Are you one of those?
Yes, sir. I am.
Okay. Well, we have a lot of respect for the ministry that takes place through that worship. Well, this is very good. One more time, let's give us the address so people can know how to get there. And this is for every generation to come out and be a part.
Every generation. So we are super. If you want to go to healingencounternights.com. All the information is there, healingencounternights.com, and the address is actually at Australian Boulevard. Hold on, let me get the actual digits here. Here's the digits.
2823.
Yes, 2823, North Australian.
Okay.
There you go. West Palm Beach. You can tell this is a new spot for us. And, you know, Jonathan, we want to tell your listeners, too, what we've decided as a ministry to do is to pop up at this location every month. So this is going to be one Saturday in a month that we're going to be popping up, and people can come down and experience the power and love of God and take it back to where they're, wherever they're coming from. So we're excited. We will most likely broadcast this live too. We'll push it out on Facebook or something. But you can get all that information at healingencounternights.com. Appreciate your ministry. Thank you for letting us be part of it with you here at WCNO.
Hey, we're blessed to lift up Jesus together. That's what the word says. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men. And so we know the Lord is calling and drawing. And you're down in Palm Beach.